Welcome to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, brought to you by Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. The Rapala family of fishing products, including VMC hooks and 13 fishing rods, reels, and more. And the Bass Angler Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. Now, the Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the College Bracket event, leading to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information about how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at Facebook.com/Bass or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Anglers tab at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com along with all their other great products, and for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20, only at 13fishing.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels myself and could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20. The Bassmaster College Bracket presented by Lewes went down last week at Milford Lake in Kansas with eight of the top college anglers in the country competing. And when the dust settled, Easton Foldergill from Monticello College took down Tucker Smith from Auburn to earn a spot in the 2024 Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic. And his story is an emotional one. Since a month ago, he was having brain surgery. I mean, this is a true story. He'll join us in the Rapala Winner Circle in just a moment. Also on today, Omnia Fishing CEO Matt Johnson on a cool new product Omnia is rolling out, a lake app that has an incredible amount of detail in it. Then Hank Weldon is in to talk about the new 2024 St. Croix Bassmaster Opens schedule that was released this week. And finally, Opens EQ angler Sam George from Athens, Alabama will join us as he is just 7 points back of the final transfer spot to make the elite field for next season with just the one event left at the Harris Chain. First up, though, is the bracket champ, Easton Foldergill, and he is on the VMC hook with us. Easton, welcome to the show, and congratulations on the big win.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. It's been a whirlwind of a last week here, and I'm just it really hasn't sunk in yet. It feels amazing.
I imagine it's been a whirlwind, you know, season. I mean, you and your partner were the team of the year from Monticello, and you guys got that done. And then you turn around, you and Nick Dumpke, team of the year, which gets you into the bracket. And then you have, after the national championship, you're having a headache. And this isn't really good. And you go to the doctor and you find out you have some kind of an abscess, a fluid buildup on your brain, and they needed to drain that and do a little bit of brain surgery just a month before the bracket challenge. Did you think that there was any way you were going to be able to get into the College Classic bracket when you knew you had to have that procedure done?
No, definitely not. After I had that procedure, I was in the hospital for about a week just feeling, you know, awful. I slept basically all day, every day, and I was just thinking, there's no chance. And, you know, about a week and a half, 2 weeks before the event, I finally started coming around, and, you know, I was like, hey, maybe we can make this happen. And, you know, God willing, it happened. So,
was there any special precautions that they felt like you had to take or anything like that? Or did they just say, you know, you're good to go, go do it?
They basically just gave me the green light. They just said during practice to make sure I wear my life jacket because I was still at risk of seizures when I was alone in the boat. So they just made sure I wore my life jacket at all times when I was alone. But other than that, they gave me the green light. They said I was good to go.
And did you have any issues medically? Did you have any issues at all?
No, not at the bracket. The whole week I felt really good. So super grateful for that.
That's good stuff. Now, you had boat issues, though. I mean, which is, you know, you had your alternator go during practice on your boat. And, I mean, but that's nothing for a guy that had brain surgery the month before the tournament. I mean, what's the big deal? The alternator went, so you just have to deal with that.
Yep, I definitely think the whole illness I had definitely, like, prepared me for the rest of my life. You know, nothing will really faze me from here on out. So it was definitely a really, you know, emotional deal.
So talk about the tournament itself. It was a grinder at Milford Lake, a lot of smallmouth bass. You picked up a kicker largemouth each day in this deal. But, I mean, getting 10 pounds was a big deal in this deal, right?
It was definitely a grinder of a tournament, which those are my favorite tournaments. You know, I know a lot of people like, you know, the slugfest, but me being a competitor, I love those grinder tournaments. You know, the ones that, you know, one bite can just make all the difference for you. Those are my favorite kinds of tournaments.
I had it on in the studio, on Monday during my ESPN radio show in Alabama, and I had it on, and it was over there, and you were trailing like most of the day, and then all, you know, you were down by a pound, you were down by 2 ounces. I actually reported it a couple of times on my regular show because, you know, a couple of guys from Alabama schools go, you know, going at it, and then the next thing you know, I look up and you're leading by a pound and a half. I mean, it was a late bite that got it done for you.
Yeah, it was definitely part of my game plan to not, because you know you can get updates throughout the day on what your competitor has. I chose to not get any updates throughout the week because I was afraid that would change the way I fish, and I knew I just had to go out every day and just catch as much weight as possible. And you know, if I fish clean and you know, if everything was meant to be, it would happen. So that was kind of my game plan going through the week.
So how does that work? I know that they give you that. What do? They give you the option when you get to the break. Do you want to know? And yep. and you just, because I think Tucker said the same thing. He didn't want to know either, which is I thought was kind of interesting that neither one of you wanted to know. And this was like restrictor plate fishing. I mean, this was like you guys would get to 8, 9, 10 pounds, and it was going to be one good bite was going to decide the whole thing.
Yeah, that was definitely my game plan. You know, from 10:45 to 11 every day, we had a break, and you know, my marshal every day asked me, "Do you want to know your competitor's weight?" And I said no, because I was just too afraid that, you know, if you had way more than me, I'd feel kind of down and make me do something different, you know, try to get a bigger bite. But I just knew if I ran my pattern, you know, ran my stuff, I would most likely get the bites. And you know, if I was fortunate enough to put them in the boat, I'd be in a good position.
So. Ethan Foldegger with us here, coming off of his classic bracket win, and so you're gonna fish the 2024. Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Classic out of Tulsa, Grand Lake, which is about 90 miles from Tulsa. But have you fished this thing before?
No,
Grand Lake.
Absolutely not. I haven't even been close to fishing that. So
no, I mean Grand Lake. I mean not the Classic. I mean,
oh,
Grand Lake. Have you ever been to Grand Lake before?
No, never been to Grand Lake.
Okay. Have you been to a Classic? I know you haven't fished a Classic. Have you ever been to a Bassmaster Classic just to kind of take in the whole atmosphere?
Yep, I've been to the last two Classics I went to. So it was definitely some of the most fun I've ever had, you know, just seeing all the anglers' faces as they come through the stadium, and it's just such a cool experience. I can't wait to be a part of it.
Yeah, and it's going to be you on the first 2 days, maybe the third day. Louis Minetti, you know, he made it all the way through to the final day as well. Of course, there's a guaranteed check with that in the Classic, and then you're also going to have your entry fees paid for the division of your choice in the Opens next year. Now, we'll get to that in a moment, but what's in your head more? Are you thinking more about the fact that you're going to fish the Opens, at least three Opens, if not more, next season, or are you thinking more about, my goodness, I'm fishing the Bassmaster Classic?
Right now, I guess my sights are on the Classic. You know, that's the world championship of all bass fishing, and I can't really wrap my mind around it. I don't think I will be able to until, you know, I start practice and start seeing all the iconic anglers. You know, I just know it'll hit me then, just like, wow, I'm competing against these guys. This is crazy. But I don't think it'll sink in until that happens.
Is this the plan for you? I mean, is the goal to be an Elite Series angler at some point in time?
Yep, that's definitely the goal.
So you
get an Elite Series angler.
So they pay for three Opens. Now, you are a Northern Minnesota guy. First of all, how does a Northern Minnesota guy end up fishing, doing his college fishing at Monticello in West Alabama?
To be honest, I just hate winters. I hate ice fishing, and I knew if I had any desire to fish the Elite Series, you know, it's basically home in Alabama, you know. So I knew I needed to come to Alabama and learn southern fisheries, and, you know, it's been a really eye-opening experience just learning southern-style fishing. It's completely different than Minnesota than what I've learned, you know. I'm super clear water, finesse fishing, smallmouth, and then you come down here, and Coosa River is just, it's a whole different dynamic, and it's been one of the best decisions of my life to come down here and learn these fisheries.
Well, I'm right with you. I grew up in the Finger Lakes, and I didn't ice fish. I didn't snowmobile. I didn't ski. I'm like, what am I doing here? I need to get down south, you know, where the action is. For me, it was the Tennessee River was the big draw for me. All right, so now you get a choice of these three divisions, and my guess is that Northern Division probably looks pretty sexy to you right now.
No, it definitely does. You know, seeing Leech Lake on the schedule, that's my baby. I live right next to Leech Lake, and, you know, it'll take some thought. I'll definitely think about every division, but right now I'm kind of leaning towards the Northern Division, but we'll see.
Any thoughts of fishing them all and going EQ?
No, it's definitely a thought. You know, this is a big opportunity, and might be, if I can pull it all together, it might be the time to do that, but we'll see. We'll crunch some numbers and see if we can make it happen.
We'll be talking with Hank Weldon a little bit later on in the show about this schedule. It is a really, really good schedule. And, of course, Division One, which used to be called the Southern Division, Lake Okeechobee, Santee Cooper, Lake Hartwell. In that second division, though, is Logan Martin Lake, not too far from where you are now in Monticello. So it is kind of an interesting mix of tournaments that we have. Well, congratulations on winning the Classic Bracket. And I'm sure you're going to do great. And we will see you at the Classic.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. And, you know, thank you to everyone for all the support through all this. It's been amazing.
All right, man. Thank you. What a tremendous story for Ethan Foldergill. And he gets the job done. He'll fish the Bassmaster Classic, and he'll fish one division of the Opens as well. Speaking of the Opens, we'll get a break in here. And when we return, well, we'll start with OmniFishing's Matt Johnson, and later on, Hank Weldon sets up the new open schedule for us as well. It's all coming up right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. The segment of the show is brought to you by our fine friends at Lake Hartwell and Visit Anderson. If it didn't exist, you'd have to invent it. Lake Anderson has just been absolutely on fire. It's taken 23, 24 pounds to win one-day tournaments over there right now. The lake is fishing so big, as always. Largemouth and the spots have been on fire, as always. And then Anderson itself is just spectacular. And it's such a great place to go to. And the fall fishing in South Carolina is outstanding as well. So we thank our friends at Visit Anderson for that. All right, speaking of a little sponsor spotlight, how about what's going on with Omnia Fishing right now? Matt Johnson joins us. He's the CEO and co-founder of Omnia Fishing, and they've got this really new mapping feature that goes beyond what they had done in the past and kind of ties into the products that they offer there as well. It's really, really cool, and he joins us now to explain it a little bit. He's on the VMC hook. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Matt, let's talk about this this Omnia app with Premium Pro now, which is taking your mapping feature to another level, because you guys started out with a map and it said, okay, here's the lake, here's the time of year, this is the best tackle, and then, you know, you could buy it right there at Omnia Fishing. But now we're taking it to a whole nother level with Premium Pro. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah, so we've always been about trying to orient a customer, give them the right location and the right gear, and a lot of that is driven by somebody clicking into a map, finding the pins, finding an area of interest, and getting the right gear. So actually expanding into an app really was the kind of the natural next step for us. So the goal is to try and give a customer not only product recommendations, technique and strategy, find a new place to fish, find the right gear and get it shipped from our warehouse. But now we've integrated all these layers. We're up to about 10, and we're continuously improving and continuing to add to it. But we're trying to be the most comprehensive set of map layers to make decisions. That's really made up of a mix of a bunch of different ideas. So lots of different contour layers, vegetation and bottom hardness layers. And then we even have some safety things like real-time lightning strikes, cone directions, wind speed, air temp. And then something that we're doing that nobody else is doing is we have integrated satellite-derived layers to try and help make decisions, especially in the fall and the spring, where we provide near real-time water temp and near real-time them water clarity. And so the goal is to just provide a ton of information to help you make that decision on top of what we were already doing, which is make product recommendations and strategy for what gear to use and where to go.
All right. So two of the really big things here. Water temp is huge for fishermen. Obviously, that determines a lot of things as to what's going on in the fishery. Wind direction is also something that's really big. Let's start with the water temp. Where are you getting this data? I mean, it's just so much data that is out there. How is that being fed, the water temp issue? And it's not like you just get a – I have the app, by the way. I am a user. Yep. I purchased the app, so our listeners know that, that I went ahead and did that. We'll talk about the pricing in a moment. But – you know, it's not like you get like one water temperature. I'm going to be fishing the Harris Chain, for example, in the open next week. And it's not like it just says, well, it's 81 degrees. And everywhere it's 81 degrees. Yeah. You got water temperatures all over the lake, every cove, every pocket, the canals, everything. So where is all of that detail coming from?
Yeah, so we have developed a proprietary process to gather satellite information. These satellites are constantly circling. And they're gathering the information, and there is a band in there that we're allowed to actually identify what the surface temperature of the water is. And we've spent a lot of time engineering a way to look at that band and create this map from it. And like you pointed out, really the big opportunity is to try and say, you know, it's heating faster in this area of the lake. It's cooling in this area. And a lot of that's going to drive fish behavior. The other thing that's kind of cool is if you look at like the temperature layer in combination with another layer, like wind speed, you pointed out, is pretty neat. You know, you could find areas if you're just out pleasure fishing, you can make a decision on how the wind speed is going to affect the lake and getting out of the wind. And then what does that leave you with? Does it leave you with fishing in warm water, cool water? You get to make all those decisions on that fish behavior. And I think that's pretty critical.
How many lakes are you covering now with this data?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the Omnia platform has always had gear recommendation for about 100,000 lakes, and we're really just the lower 48 in the United States. There are always limitations to satellite cover, depending on where the clouds are, and, you know, different times of year, it's really cloudy often, and when the satellite passes. So actually, the amount of lakes that we cover is in the tens of thousands, but it's not necessarily every single day that we can refresh that water temp layer. When it comes to like contours and things like that, we're in the high tens of thousands of lakes covered in this map.
Wow, that's
the other cool thing is we offer a 7-day trial, so you can get in and kind of check to see if you have good coverage on your lake. And again, Omnia has always been a free platform for buying the right gear.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely tremendous. Now, what about offshore or at least back bay type stuff, and some of the saltwater fishermen out there? Have you gone down that path at all yet, or is this strictly inland freshwater bodies of water?
Just strictly inland today, but as you can imagine, we've got some aspirations to help those anglers out as well. In order to grow the business and be a national business, we've stayed pretty focused on bass to start.
Mm-hmm.
But we're a Minnesota company. One of our original founders, Seth Fighter, big bass guy. But we have a lot of customers that also fish for walleye, other panfish, and those layers are different depending on what species you're fishing for. So we're slowly starting to add species and products for those species. And we do think that we probably expanded some of the other categories like salt in the future.
Well, you know, I know our friend Patrick Walters is a big Omnia guy, too. And, at some point in time, he's going to lean on you for the redfish and, you know, the back bay stuff, you know, because I know he likes to go fishing for that stuff as well. Matt Johnson with us here talking about the new Omnia mapping feature, the Premium Pro mapping feature that takes it to the next level. And it is so, so useful. And then just talk about how you can integrate that with making your purchases. Because if you find out from the map that and from the reports, the lake reports and so on, that, you know, right now the frog is hot on Gunnersville and this is where the beds are and the grass is, I don't have enough frogs, you know, I need to, boom, you can go ahead and make your purchase right off the bat through the Omnia Fishing as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we know that anglers actually purchase a little bit differently than most online customers. And so you're looking at frequency, you know, you're refreshing your gear often. And when we started Omnia back in 2018, we did launch a feature where we had a subscription service, and still do, called Omnia Premium. And about 20% of our customers buy this premium subscription. It's $29 a year, but you end up getting free shipping with no minimum. So if you see a couple of frogs that you need, we can drop them in, get them shipped out. You don't pay shipping every single time. But most importantly, the big advantage is anybody that's a tackle addict or buying all the time, buying lots of gear, that $29 subscription pays for itself really quickly because you get a 10% credit back on your purchases. So buy a $500 setup at the beginning of the year, $50 in credit gets dropped back in your account for a future order. So it pays for itself pretty quickly. And we know that people want to purchase frequently. We don't want to prevent them from doing that because of shipping costs.
Yeah, Omnia Fishing app and the Premium Pro aspect of it. Now, only $49, and you know, I broke that down. That's like $4 a month. So for $4 a month, I know where the grass is on particular lakes and so on. And, you know, and it kind of gets me pointed in the right direction as to where I can go out there and search that information and even bottom contour information and so on. I know you guys work closely with Navionics, but you also have a lot of fishing reports where people become ambassadors and they give you all kinds of information on what's going on the lake.
Yeah, and actually the $49 is the base price if you have no connection to Omnia already. If you're already an Omnia premium customer, which is a lot of people that fish in the bass world, it's actually you just pay the difference. So it's that $20 upcharge and you get all of those mapping layers. So now what are you talking? $1.50 a month and you get all those loyalty credits. So the hope is just to provide a really great feature that gets a really great loyal customer and then provides us with feedback and then ultimately becomes an ambassador. A lot of motivation for filing those fishing reports is additional tackle credit. So you file a fishing report, I run into your fishing report and I buy, you actually get credit back in your account based on that success. So we are seeing just a tremendous amount of information coming in, tens of thousands of fishing reports across the country in the last couple months.
Matt Johnson with us here. He is the CEO of Omnia Fishing, and they've got this new Premium Pro mapping deal. So if they buy the mapping, they get the whole deal at Omnia Fishing. Like me, when I bought the map, now I get everything that you guys, all the discount programs and everything.
That's right. And we've got about 30,000 unique products that all ship out of our warehouse. We're not one of those drop shippers. We warehouse everything. We have the team that ships it all out in real time. And actually, you can go to the site and get a tour of the Omnia warehouse. Right in the center of the page is a tour from our friend Seth Fighter, Fast Elites, and he actually walks you through everything. He might even be wearing a nice suit with his hair slicked back.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't recognize him at first. I was like, who's this dude here with the white forehead and the tan face? But it's Seth Fighter. And a lot of times you can find product there that you might not be able to find anywhere else because you guys already have it in stock. Even if even if your favorite manufacturer might be out of it, you might have it in your warehouse.
That's right. So one of the things that our buy team does is they actually look at the number of impressions. So if we're getting a lot of hits in Florida this time of year, mm-hmm. And then we're seeing the products that are being recommended on those lake pages, we do our best to make sure that we're in stock. So our stock actually becomes fairly seasonal. So we try to have extremely high 90% in stock rates for the baits that are being recommended. And again, it ships right out of our warehouse same day if you order by 1 p.m.
Great stuff. Matt Johnson has been our guest. Matt, I appreciate it. The app is fantastic. I liked it so much I went ahead and bought it. And we'll look forward to talking to you again down the road.
All right. Appreciate it. Go catch him.
All right. Thank you. I need to go catch him. That's exactly right. All right. We'll get a break in here. We'll come back with more right after this. It's Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. This segment of the show is brought to you by the fine folks at Visit Anderson in Lake Hartwell. If it didn't exist, you'd have to invent it. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful over there. Hartwell is fishing so well these days. I mean, it's incredible. Every one-day tournament over there is 22, 23 pounds, and it's all largemouth and spots, and you can just fish it just about any way you want. And Green Pond Landing is spectacular. I mean, it is just a great, great place. And I always take my wife with me to Anderson because she loves just hanging out in Anderson. It's just a really, really neat place in the country, and I encourage you to check out visitanderson.com or just visit Anderson and go fish Hartwell as well. Do like John Cox said last week, you know, make a week's vacation of it and just go hang out over there, do a little fishing, a little hanging out in town. Now, speaking of Anderson, they are on. Lake Hartwell is on the 2024 St. Croix Bassmaster Opens schedule. It is the final tournament of Division One, which is, you know, a lot of us know as the Southern Division. We'll see if it's called Division One by the time it comes around, but they're one of the places that that the Opens will be going. And joining us now, the guy who is responsible for the 2024 schedule and everything Bassmaster Opens, it is, of course, Hank Weldon, and he's on the VMC hook. Hank, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Tom. Yeah, I don't know if that's a good thing if I'm in charge of it all or a bad thing. So, you know, I guess it depends on who you're talking to about it all.
So let's start by wrapping up what's going on this year, because we got the final open at the Harris Chain. We're going to determine who the nine guys are that make it to the Elite Series. So many guys are so close. We have Sam George coming up. He's about 7 points back. He's coming up in the next segment. But it's been really an incredible year this year so far. What a year JT Tompkins has had. That young man from the Carolinas, I mean, he has been out of control. Him and John Garrett, Trey McKinney, these guys that are at the top of the list. It's incredible how consistent they have been. And I think a lot of people just assumed that some of the bigger names would automatically, you know, be able to get through this and get qualified. But it's not the case. I mean, you know, there are some very familiar names down the list a little bit. And we are going to see some fresh faces making it to the elites off of the EQs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like you said, I mean, you can't say that there's not momentum involved in fishing, because you look at JT and John Garrett alone, you know, they rattle off two top tens here at the last two events at Watts Bar and Lake of the Ozarks. Trey McKinney also had a top 10 at Watts, and I think he was like 11th or something, mm-hmm. or 13th at Lake of the Ozarks. And Trey McKinney's got, what, 2 seconds and a third? It's just crazy this year with the high level of fishing that the EQs are doing. But then you got the big movers, too. Like a Jamie Bruce and a Kyle Patrick, they were, you know, kind of steady the whole year, and then all of a sudden they strike at Watts Bar and Lake of the Ozarks, and now they're in elite contention too. And then Tyler Williams, the kid from Maine, you know, looking at him, two top tens in a row. It's going to be very interesting, that final event and the storylines that happen with just not only that tournament, who's winning that tournament, who's being successful with that, but finishing out, polishing off the year with a great finish. So it's going to be a lot to follow along there in Florida.
Yeah, and there's always going to be some heartbreak. You know, there are some guys that are really close. You know, Bobby Lane going to the Harris Chain, I thought that, you know, if he had a little bit better finish at Lake of the Ozarks, I thought for sure that he would make it. He still has a chance to make it, obviously. Has to have a big tournament. Joey Nenea is a very popular guy. He's had a couple of open wins in the last 3 years. And then there's Ben Milliken, who started out a house of fire. I mean, that dude, you know, it seemed like he was going to be top 10 every week. And he slipped to 17th. And, you know, who knows, you know, whether or not – I'm not sure where the line is right now, where the cutoff line is. But, you know, being that there's 200 anglers in the thing, you always have that opportunity, you know, to finish high in the top 10 and just see how the chips fall. So there'll be some heartbreak hanging around that 9, 10, 11, 12 line.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you look at, like, Ben, and right now the target's still 10th because we've got Bassmaster Elite Series angler Kenta Kimura, who's inside that top 9, already qualified for the elites for next year. So we would work down to get 9 new anglers out of the open. So the target number right now is 10th place. And talking about wild cards, you know, again, when we were making the schedule, we were like, let's don't start in Florida. Let's end in Florida.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a different feel for a Florida fishery, believe it or not, you know, in October versus – you know, when we're usually there in the early spring, late winter.
Then you have the aspect of who's making the Bassmaster Classic field. And, you know, we've had a couple of guys sitting on the bubble for a few weeks now. You know, usually it always seems like you get a double qualifier or two near the end and guys will move up. And, you know, I just think about those guys that are sitting on the bubble right now, just begging, just hoping that somebody wins their second open or that somebody that is already, you know, qualified for the Classic will win so that they can sneak in. But it hasn't been the case the last few weeks. The last few opens, we've always had a new winner and another name added to the Classic field, and those guys sitting on a bubble are dying right now.
Oh, yeah, you're right. And I think that's, again, a testament to the EQs, because, like you said, usually we've got Elite Series anglers that go to the open divisions and they win one, you know, and there's typically, I don't know, we'd have to go back and look, but I would say at least 3 to 5 of the 9 open spots available that are, like you said, double qualified, that push it back to the Elite Series. So, and we've only got one this year so far, and that was Jody White, who won the Waddington event. And he just wasn't eligible because he didn't get in to the other two events of Division III. So right now, everybody else is one of those pure open anglers. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
More classic spots for the open anglers right now.
No doubt about it. Opens tournament director, Hank Weldon with us here. All right, let's get to the schedule and what you guys came up with. You know, speaking of ending in Florida, going to start in Florida in Division One at Okeechobee. We had a very successful Elite Series event there. I assume that had something to do with it, but let's talk about Division One. Okeechobee, then Santee Cooper, which is always great, not on the Elites next year, so Santee Cooper gets an open. And then, of course, Lake Harwell, which is as hot as any lake in the country, I think, right now.
Yeah, and that's the widest division in terms of time, too. But, yeah, so Okeechobee, I don't know when the last time we've had an open there. It's been many, 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 many years. Mm-hmm. And the other thing too is we're going out of the Clewiston side, so we've got some new friends down there, and we'll go out of the Roland Martin Marina there in mm-hmm. Clewiston. And everybody knows Okeechobee and how well it's fishing right now. And yeah, we're back to an early start in Florida, but a lake that I've heard even some folks say. I'd be curious with Sam if he's even fun fish down there at Okeechobee, because if you're an opens angler, you haven't really had a reason to go to Okeechobee because we just have never been there.
Yeah, I lived an hour from there for several years down in Southwest Florida, and went there all the time. And I'm happy it's going out of Clewiston. It's an area that I know better for sure. Division Two takes you to Lake Wichita at Hot Springs, Arkansas to get things started. Then Logan Martin Lake, which is, of course, a legendary lake right there in Alabama. And Lake Eufaula, not that Eufaula, the other Eufaula, as we call it, the Eufaula in Oklahoma. So that's a good-looking schedule, too.
Yeah, and one of the things, too, is we're off to a fast and furious start this year. Last year we kind of eased into mm-hmm. it, and this year we'll have three events done before the Classic in late March. And one of those is Lake Wichita, like you talked about, in Hot Springs. And I think we haven't been there in 55 years from a Bassmaster side of things. That mm-hmm. one's going to be interesting. That's going to be a pure, depending on how the weather works out, that could be one of those pure winter tournaments, really cold water. It'll be we're going to go from Okeechobee, if you follow the chronology and not looking at it in divisions, we're going to go from Okeechobee, take a week off, and then we're right there in Arkansas. So you're going from a spawn warm tournament back to a full-on winter pattern if the weather shapes out like we think it will. Mm-hmm. And then like you said, yeah, you follow Oklahoma, we know how that one fish, huge lake. I think we're 1 week behind from where we were this year, so we're going back there this year. Our next year, and that one, you know, and the anglers are able to spread out. It's an absolute massive lake when you really look at it on the size of it on the map. It's the largest lake in Oklahoma, so it can handle the opens field well. And those folks in Eufaula, Oklahoma, are great hosts, and we're happy to have them. And then Logan Martin. So the one thing, Logan Martin, if you're not from Alabama, you don't know this as well, but one thing it was lacking was a good launch site. And our, you know, the friends at Lincoln, Alabama, they launched that new facility, Lincoln Landing. And that one could be interesting. I mean, if you followed along with the Elite this year at Lay Lake, you know, they were there, I think we were a week after when we're going there. So we're 1st of May, but being from Alabama and knowing how the Coosa River fishes that time of year, if the shad spawn's going on, if we have a little bit of a cooler spring, that tournament could be interesting, you know, cause you can do well on both largemouth and spots. You can have that mixed bag, or you can do well on pure largemouth, or do well on pure spotted bass. So that's what it'll be interesting to see how that one unfolds. And we haven't been to Logan Martin in a while with the opens. We've been there several times, but not in a little bit.
Hank Weldon has been our guest. Hank, it's a great schedule, great work by you guys. I look forward to seeing you next week down there at the Harris Chain as we wrap up this year and start already looking towards next year.
All right, Tom. Thanks, man. Yeah, it's going to be a fun year.
All right, thank you. That's Hank Weldon. We'll have him out again in a few weeks and talk about when you can start registering for those 2024 tournaments as well. All right, we get a break in here. When we come back, speaking of Harris Chain, Sam George out of Athens, Alabama, is close to making it to the Elites. We'll talk to him next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio and the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. All right, one last segment to go here, and I saved Sam George for this final segment, Phoenix Pro Sam George. He is right on the edge of making it to the elite as we head for the final open of the season, the final St. Croix Open, which will be at the Harris Chain. Sam George is in 12th place right now. He's 7 points out of the final transfer spot. I fished with Sam George about 3 or 4 years ago at Lake Champlain in an open. And I have been convinced since then that this kid from Athens, Alabama, is going to be on the elite tour. I thought he would be there now. He's been so close so many times, and he's right there again. And he joins us now in the VMC hook. Sam, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, we're good, man. It's good to be back. Anytime you're on an interview with Bassmaster Radio, I guess you're doing something good. So we'll take it.
That's a good sales job by you. We're going to have to put that in our promo. That's good stuff. So 12th place, it's been a weird year for you. I mean, you had Wheeler's kind of your home lake. It's right there in Athens, and you ended up, fourth place there. But the rest of the season has just been very steady, no bombs, top 50 all the time. You made three checks. And now you get to the end, and there you are in 12th place. It shows what just being steady, will do for you.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing. You kind of hit the nail on the head. It has been a weird year. It's been kind of a busy year. We've had a lot of life changes. We had a baby girl back in July, so that's been kind of an adjustment both on and off the water. But the whole year's just kind of been different. Like you said, I haven't really had any really bad ones, and I've had some good ones, but, I have been just plagued with finishes in that 40 to, 52nd, 53rd range, and it's, at the beginning of the year, I would have taken all those finishes and been completely happy with them points wise. I kind of predicted it from the beginning of the year. This is one of the most, just stacked years we've ever seen. And points wise, we were looking at the points going into, I guess it was Lake of the Ozarks, and basically the points that normally qualify to get you in the Elite Series by the end of the year, there were guys that had already hit that with still two events left. So I've never seen a field like this, and just the amount of talent in it. It's easily one of the most competitive tours out there right now. So, we've got a lot of work to do in Florida. I think that, mediocre finishes aren't going to get us anywhere. I think that, we're going to have to kind of put the pedal down and try to make a top 10 to really just even have a shot.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think you can get in without necessarily being top 10. But you look at the top 10, it's an interesting makeup of guys in terms of different kind of skill sets. But the problem is it's not just what's in front of you, it's what's on your tail. I mean, you look behind you, you got Joey Nenea, Bobby Lane, who's a Florida stick, obviously, and he's sitting, in 15th place. And I know he's thinking about top five maybe and getting back into the elites. Ben Milliken, who's a big fish guy who started out a House of Fire. I mean, I don't know how far down the list you would go, but certainly it would seem like, down to Milliken at 17, those guys are all in the mix too. Any of those guys making a run at winning this tournament or finishing really, really good could be a problem. It would seem like in your case, I don't know, I don't want to do the numbers, but it would seem like top 20, top 15, and you're there. But man, this is going to be something going down the stretch.
Right, and that's kind of the thing. And people look at points and they look at what's ahead of them, and that's kind of what has intimidated me more than anything is what's behind me. You can only do so much with the guys ahead of you. You can just – and it's really with any situation. You just have to go do the best you can. But, it's a weird scenario. I could go down there and finish 30th or 40th and possibly make it, or I could go down there and finish 10th and possibly miss it. If you have, there's just no point spread back behind me. We're all separated by just a couple points. So you could easily go down there and finish 10th and pass a lot of guys in front of you. But if you have guys behind you that finish 3rd, 4th, 5th, you might come back to weigh in and think you've done it. And then the points upload that night and you're still two places out. So it's setting up to be kind of a weird deal where you just really don't know what you have to do. So, I'm just going to go down there, and just kind of put my head down and know that I've got to catch them the best I can. I kind of like that feeling because it eliminates any conservative thought, when you go down there. There's no, if it's 1 o'clock on day one and you don't really have them yet, You know, there's no, hey, let's go to the bank and catch 8 or 9 pounds. I mean, that's not going to get you anywhere. So it kind of helps that decision-making a little bit, in my opinion. But, you know, we're just going to go down there and do the best we can and just kind of see where it plays out. That's all you really can do.
Phoenix Pro Sam George with us here talking a little bit about what is coming up next week at the Harris Chain. Now, the last time you were at the Harris Chain was 2021, and you finished 12th. I mean, it was a good tournament for you there, 31-13 over the 2 days that you fished. So 15, 16 pounds a day got you 12th place. I think 12th place puts you in the elites. I mean, in my mind, there's no way that if you did that again, you would finish, you would make it to the elites. But having said that, that was a different time of year. You know, that was a typical February time when we go to Harris Chain, this time in October. Is there anything that you can take from fishing it in early in the year in February and apply it to this October tournament?
I think there is. And one thing that I did last time, and I used to really, really struggle in Florida. And the last few times I've been, I've kind of learned a lot and have done pretty well the last few times. And a lot of it was I would really get burned by areas and spawning fish and dealing with moons and weather and all that. And I kind of finally put in my head, you know, even when we go down there in February, I try to really write that stuff off. And I love sight fishing. I love catching spawning fish. But I've kind of slowly learned, like, you kind of have to find something off the wall, off the bank, you know, rely a lot more on grass. I used to hate fishing grass, mostly just because I didn't know a lot about it. And I've kind of slowly learned, and I kind of expect, you know, a lot of the similar offshore scenarios. I think that the only thing that'll be just crazy different is just kind of eliminating the fact of any spawning fish. But I, when we were there last time, I did weigh in a few that, you know, I couldn't visibly see them, but I know they were spawning. So, you know, that good finish, you take a couple of those bites away, it's not near as good as it is on paper. So that's kind of one thing that I think will be different, is just, you know, having a shot at a big one, like up on the bank, like you do when you know there's a lot of fish making that wave up there. Mm-hmm. So that, to me, I think that, you know, it'll be similar to kind of fishing just your traditional offshore stuff, and just kind of understanding that. That's kind of the main factor that I expect to help me this week.
Keith Tuma won it the last time, that March tournament. I think I said February. It was actually the first week of March when Keith Tuma won it. 58-13 over 3 days, so just under 20 pounds a day. Do you think it's a 20-pound-a-day thing in October, or do you think it's more 15 to 18 pounds?
I really couldn't tell you, just because it's Florida, there's big ones in there. You know, you have a guy that, you know, the winner could easily catch 2 8-pounders, you know, throughout the tournament, mm-hmm. and that averages out, you know, to be 20 a day. But I really think that the weights will most likely be down compared to usual, and I may be just totally wrong. I've never been there this time of year, so I don't really know what to expect weight-wise. I kind of expect it to be a little more consistent. I think that, you know, the weather's looking stable. I think it's going to be more kind of a late summer tournament than an actual fall event, just because it's still pretty hot down there. But I think that, you know, if you gave me 16, 17 a day, I would probably stay here at the house right now. That would probably put me where I need to be. And I think you could probably get into that final day with a really good shot to win with a big bag. But, you know, it's Florida. These guys are crazy good. I mean, the weights this year have been absolutely insane everywhere we've gone. Just, you know, the amount of talent, the amount of technology. I mean, if you take a lot of that technology away, you know, the weights wouldn't be near as good as they have been this year. So, like, there's a lot of factors that we just don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, especially with, like, all the forward-facing sonar and everything, there's mm-hmm. a guy, you know, there's a guy or two that could figure that deal out in, you know, dealing with those big ones down there, and they could easily catch 28 to 30 a day. We really don't know what to expect. It's been kind of a crazy year weight-wise and competition-wise. So if there's a 30-pound bag to be caught every single day, that one of these guys is going to find it.
Sam, I'm pulling for you. I look forward to seeing you down there. Have safe travels, and who knows, maybe I'll draw you again.
Sounds great. I hope it happens.
All right, man. Thank you. That's Sam George. I really believe in that kid. I really do. All right. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio or visit Bassmaster.com. Click on the Anglers page, and you'll see Bassmaster Radio listed right there. Or you can visit the Sports Map Radio podcast page at sportsmapradio.com/podcast. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.